a happy customer.
Well, I'm sorry, what's the... Yes, sir. Well, you know, I don't know. It purely depends a lot sometimes on how the instrument's set up. I don't know what you're playing
sometimes
on.
Sometimes
your
instrument can defeat you. The
instrument can be
too
stiff or something. Might be if your strings are action's too high, and strings are too heavy, or frets are not high enough, or things like that. You might be, you know, experiencing some actual limitations on an instrument or something besides.
It might not be all your fault, in other words.
No, but you might have the world's greatest instrument, too, you know.
Oh, you know.
I have that problem. Sometimes you get a good instrument, and then you haven't got any excuse, you know. It's my problem, but...
Well, did you ever, like, play with a tape recorder or something like that?
No, sir, I never did that type of thing very much. I always have just played pretty well, you know, as it came down the line. I don't know about this. Can't speak for everyone else. Russ, how about you?
Well, I play with a tape recorder, play along with it, but I think one thing you can think about is if you recognize that something doesn't sound as good as you'd like it to, just don't put up with it. I mean, you know, I mean it's your ear, your inner ear, how you know things could sound, that leads your hands into what they need to do to make that sound. So, you know, it's the simplest way to put it for me is to just be critical of your playing, and if you hear something that you know could be better, then make it better in the way that you hear. And otherwise play every day.
Yeah, I'd go along with that.
Right.
You got to get it to match up with what you hear in your head. That's very, very well put. That's right. Yes, sir. I'm not sure. Can you speak that up? I didn't catch quite all that. There's a...
Yeah, when you do a tune, like you get it to the end of the song.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh yeah, how you pull a melody out of the chord?
How do you?
Yeah.
Well, he's talking about, I think, going and getting like from a single line melody in a book. You're talking like a fiddle tune book where you got a single line melody. Well, the first thing that if you hear the melody is you try to certainly hear the changes, the chords or the chord changes to that. And once you hear the changes, if you have the right changes, that'll automatically give you some harmonic things to go on right there, you know. And then you just start working your rolls and whatever, you know. You take a single line melody and you would take it out of its basic form, and you might be putting a few of your own little licks, like ornaments and things that's coming out of your own head. And maybe on a guitar, like where you're using rolls and things like that. And then you're just working out of those basic changes that go with the melody. I say just know the changes. I think knowing the changes to a melody is the key to doing most anything, because everything has to have a basis, you know. So the melody is the basis there, and then your basic changes automatically, if you can hear some, kind of harmonize it a little bit for you, and then you have a structure to work in. Would be my words on that.
Yeah, okay? I agree with. Yeah, I think that's true, and I think the one other thing that you can think about is that when you embellish a melody, that's exactly what you're doing. You know, make sure you know the melody first, and then and the chords, and so you know, have an idea of what harmony is behind it. But then there are lots of ways to embellish a melody. I mean, one is on guitars, you can do it in a lot of ways, playing across the strings, like getting textural things, strumming along with it, or just writing a melody that kind of really, what it boils down to is composing new melodies that are based on the original one, and that contain the original one, but that elaborate on it, you know, and that's something that you just got to sit down and work on, come up with your own ideas. Yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kind of directing to each of you, do y'all use standard medium gauge sets, or do you find your custom gauge your sets?
Well, I'll start off on that one. I may be an exception here. I don't use standard strings. It depends on the guitar, partly, and what you want, and your action has, and the condition of the instrument, you know, what you want to how you want it to feel. But I like to use like the second, third, fourth, and fifth strings. All the four in the middle there on mine are straight medium gauge, which would be like 17, 26, 35, 45. And I like to go one lighter usually on the first. I use a 12 in place of a 13. And then over here, I use a 60, 59 or a 60. And this guitar is strung up basically the same way. I think she's got medium gauge
straight
on the first five with a 60 bass on it. But we set our actions down pretty low. You certainly don't want to do that if you're, that 60 is going to feel real rough if your action's not low. But I don't know. What about you? What are you using there?
I use standard light gauge.
Light gauge, okay.
But you're right. If you know, there's a couple. You don't have to reach some kind of compromise no matter what you do. There, you can get a nice effect on certain guitars by using the heavier strings and then getting the action down a little bit. If you have lighter strings, you probably have to have the action up a little farther than you would. I like light strings because they're easier to play, basically.
That's right.
But also because I like, for the way I like to play and the kinds of music that I play, they just work better for me, because I like to get a lot of sustain and try to use the guitar in a singing kind of way, and I think light gauge strings enable you to do that.
Yeah.
You sacrifice a little bit in volume, but I'm not playing in situations where high volume is that necessary.
And you're working up the neck too. The light gauge sometimes feels better when you're playing high up the neck, like and you know, like a lot of the traditional guitarists, and like myself for example, we would just play more out of a chord position, but like he's playing all over the fingerboard, and sometimes the lightness, I think, makes the instrument sound good up in those high registers, because sometimes they get sounding kind of short and thunky if they're strung too heavy, if you're playing way up the neck like that. So I think that works. There's a compromise, really. Anything that you do, there's an equivalent, I've always found, in music. In other words, if the action's high, it takes a lighter string, you can almost get, you can't really get quite the same feel, but if you've got a high action and a light string, for example, you're getting about the same thing as in some ways as you're getting with a low action and a medium string. In other words, it just depends purely on that instrument, how it is, too, you know, and what you want to play on it and where you want to play. But for everything, you can approximate it and with something else and come up with about the same thing just through the setup sometimes, I think. Now, Charlie, now, I don't know. Charlie's probably got, what you got now?
Oh, I just get these strings that I get from Mexico.
The Mexican ones, all right, yeah.
Now, these are standard GHS bright bronze medium gauge set.
Which is a little heavier than some mediums, isn't it?
I'm not sure. It's 13, 17, 26, 36, 46, 56.
Yeah, see, you're jumping up on the fourth and fifth, 36, 46 on your fourth. Yeah, the GHS goes one heavier on the fourth and fifth. What's your bass string?
56.
50, so you there go back to a standard right there.
Right. But it's true what Norman says about the guitar. Some guitars you might want to get a little more bass out of or something. You might want to add a little heavier gauge, low end or something. And some guitars have a short scale, and some of them have longer scales. That makes a big difference.
That's exactly right. If you got a 24.9 scale like you find on double O's and old double O's and more modern triple O's, that's a shorter scale, and then sometimes a heavier string will feel good. And where your dreadnought scale, which is 25.4 inches, is a little longer. So if you got that, then and your action gets a little high, you might want to lighten it up a little.
And there's some guitars will with the same string and the same scale length even, you'll get guitars that feel loose and other ones that feel tighter just because of the way the wood responds.
Yeah, the thickness of the top and the bracing, all that, that's the...
So.
I have a question. I have a D28.
Oh, this gentleman, I believe, was first right here. Answer that.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
Maybe.
No.
All of the above.
Yeah.
It's true that you know, you see people getting playing well and successfully and sounding great in so many different ways that it's really hard to say for sure. I think you don't want, whatever you do, you don't want to feel stiff and pinned down into anything. Sometimes you need to, I don't know, I'd sometimes grab onto the E string with my last two fingers while I'm playing.
I do that. Yeah.
I do that too.
Okay, come up against it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't pin down on the top, but I'm real close. I'm touching it, but not planted, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play every day.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I've got a question here. Well, it's a lot of things there. Partly it's that I've never learned to play up the neck, but basically, I started off playing thumb and finger style, where more like the Carter family style, where you carry the melody and the bass strings more. And then I pretty well stayed with the traditional music, and I think that playing on open strings and lowness, because I don't play in bands very much and things, and you're trying to make as much ringing sound and get as much out of open strings as you can, and so you just kind of stick in the position that you're getting the most sound out of it, you know, and then that doesn't involve that you move usually more than 4 or 5 frets sometimes with a and just use a capo a lot, and it's just the style there partly that's dictated that, and I've always just tried to keep the melody in mind. I like to get away from it at times, but I think you should never, you know, go so far away, you know, on some things, you know. If you want to create new music, I think there's a lot more room for that, you know, like a lot of today's music, like Russ and Edgar and Jerry are playing. Those are the things, the new music that, you know, it's a thing all its own. But if you're doing something that's so grounded, so far in tradition for so many hundreds of years or something, it, you have to be true to it, you want to stay a little closer to it. So I'm not against people putting hot licks, so to speak, in. I've done my share of trying to do that over the years, too, but I think that you want to be fairly true to it and not take it too far. If you really just want to take on off and go to Mars or something, so to speak, then play your own music. No, write your own music and do what you want to, you know. That's what we have today.
Let me say one more thing, what Norman was saying about the playing on the bass strings. So that's where the guitar is. I mean, that's why we chose the guitar. Nothing else has got these two strings, you know, the mandolin or the banjo.
That's true.
You know, they stop right here, and the banjo does. And except for the string bass, there's nothing else on stage that can play those notes. So it's like a guitar-like thing, you know, and Norman loves the guitar.
Yeah.
So he plays that stuff because that's where the guitar really is.
That's,
you know,
what led me to it, yeah. I wanted
And I wanted to make one more comment about the... You know, no matter what kind of music you play, even whether it's modern or traditional, and I think it really helps you if you're trying to play contemporary music to really understand and have a good background in some kind of traditional music, because it adds a lot to your playing and it keeps it grounded in a good way. But even when you're no matter what music you're playing, it's important to keep the melody in mind. You hear players, no matter what style they're playing, that will solo and improvise strictly on a chord progression. It sounds very kind of empty, and it ends up getting more repetitious than people who base their improvisations, I mean, if they are improvising, who base it strongly on the melody and who approach the lines that they play as melodies, not as licks or riffs, as melodies that are suggested by the tune itself.
Don't you think, too? Yeah, I agree. Don't you think that, like, some of the better, older jazz men would always, they'll state the melody.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but, you know, they'll get the tune. You'll know what the tune is, and then they'll go off, and they'll go completely away from it, and a lot of times they'll bring it back, and you'll hear the melody creep back in. You know, they state it, they go away, and then they return and slide out on it. So, yeah, I think that goes along.
That's That was what he asked just a couple minutes ago, and that was when we got the yes, no, maybe. The answer was don't get yourself pinned down too rigidly, whatever you do. Yeah.
How do you add triplets into?
Well, ornamentation is a real important part of, you know, fiddle music, and when you start transferring fiddle music onto the guitar, some of the fiddle ornaments work and some of them don't.
Right.
And you have to sort of develop a style of ornamentation that suits the instrument, and it may be triplets, it may be something else, little pull-offs and whatever. Triplets are hard on the guitar if you're going to use them because they throw in an extra, you know, guitar is kind of a down up thing. and triplet is down, is three notes. So it sort of throws off the good thing you have going, and it's hard to do. So often when you do triplets on a guitar, I always usually combine it with a hammer on or a pull off so that the right hand is a little easier. But my main thing is, set picking pattern, not really. The simplest way I could talk about that is that usually a note that comes like on a beat, you're going down, and one in between, you're coming up, most of the time, but not all the time.
Over here.
Right.
Well, that particular tune, Woody Guthrie, was employed by the Bonneville Power Administration they commissioned him to write some songs, the Grand Coulee Dam, Roll on Columbia, songs like that. He actually did those for hire for the Bonneville Power Administration to promote electricity.
And though we haven't really mined that particular vein, musically speaking, I'm sure there are a lot of W.
Yeah, I never had thought of it quite in that light. Yeah,
I'm sure there is. There was a whole, they had a lot of everything happening in that time period, so I'm sure there are.
Rhythm players, playing rhythm players that you like and admire. I always have said that I thought that just learning to play rhythm, you know, was the way to start, you know, playing the guitar. If you're getting a grounding in some basics. If you're like, you know, learned a lot of people now, where we have so many good guitar players about that, a lot of people think that they should sort of, if you excuse expression, start at the top and work their way backward or down. But I think there it goes back to that thing about the changes, and the rhythm is the same way as the changes. What goes along there, learning to do that, you'll learn more right there about it than you will anyplace else. Just learn to keep that rhythm and get the right notes and the bass strings and the right chords. Doom janging is what we've loosely referred to it, but I think it's worth its weight in gold when it comes to playing the guitar.
I got a busy schedule today.
All right.
No, I actually have to be on stage at 3:30, and I'm.
You playing with Panama Red today?
I'm playing with Panama Red today. Right. That's right. So.
Have fun.
Carry on.
We'll let you off the hook there, but
thanks, Charlie.
They're liable to dock your wages there, Charlie. Okay, we'll try to do the D18 song for you. I think everyone has gotten the impression that I wrote this one, and I didn't. I wish I had, but a gentleman named Jerry Ferries wrote this tune, and we learned it from him. It goes like this, and about the pick along if you want to, but we're in
the key I need a capo for, right?
We're up there about one fret up there in G.